Eric, quite a day, quite a week, really quite a handful of months here now. Certainly the big news coming out of your meeting today with the board of directors, football and volleyball will be allowed to practice, but competition will be moved to the spring. Can you talk us through how hard that decision was and kind of the process and the reasoning behind it?
Yeah, I think you're right on, Mike, that this has been going on for a couple of months. As soon as we made decisions about summer coaching waiver period and what things would look like in the summer, the next natural questions were around what is fall going to look like. And we know the nature of the Minnesota State High School League and that we are connected directly to member schools. And so our decisions need to be in line with the recommendations for our member schools and the way in which they're going to return to learn. And so we couldn't be making these decisions sooner than we found out from the governor in terms of where we were going to be at. And then when you add the information around a localized decision that's going to be based on metrics within counties, that just makes it a little bit more complex. And so a lot of work going into where our school is going to be. What does that mean for us with activities and opportunities for kids? How do we make those decisions, knowing that the health and well-being of our individual students is, in a lot of cases, relying to some extent on their participation. It's their passion. It's been a hobby. It's been a vocation for a lot of them for quite a long time, and they see that as just an automatic part of what they do. And so when it comes to trying to measure that against the risks that are involved with certain activities, that makes it really, really difficult. And for those that listened in or were a part of our board meeting, they heard that our board struggled mightily to try to figure out how to do that well and approved the beginning of some sports on August 17th, as they are typically scheduled. But then, as you mentioned, made the decision to move back volleyball and football in terms of any competition season to later in the school year, with more details yet to be defined on what that looks like. But they do want students to be able to participate to some extent and approve the idea of practice in the fall, and ask our eligibility committee to kind of delineate what the factors would be in that and the restrictions or limitations of that practice experience. So a lot of good work, a lot of behind the scenes work to study a lot and look at youth guidance on sports, what the NFHS has to say about return to participation, as well as a number of other factors that are specific to Minnesota. So all in all, as you said, a long couple of days through a workshop and then a board meeting, but in the end, that's where we are as of today.
If you could, and I know you hit on a couple of them, but at the end of the day, what were the major reasons for football and volleyball specific? As you mentioned, soccer, swimming, tennis, some others are going to be allowed to compete. Was it just the nature of the sports involved in terms of the decision?
Well, I think there's some similarities and certainly there's some differences, right? So with volleyball, one of the major factors is that especially when we talk about fall sports and the ones that were approved, the only one that was approved to start is an individualized sport, and that's swimming, and that's indoors. And with the understanding that without visitors to school, it's unlikely that our swim meets are going to have fans or spectators. But in terms of swimming, we're not in face-to-face competition over the course of time, and we're not necessarily in a gym, and in fact, the ventilation systems within swimming pools have to be significant because of a lot of other reasons around pool and the chemicals, et cetera. When you talk about football, raw numbers are certainly a challenge with that. The guidance still says pods of 25 or less, and very few of our football teams across the state would be less than 25. And then you add the competition in, and it is regular physical contact face-to-face over the course of time of a competition, and that just becomes really challenging. And that's why it's categorized in that high-risk category by almost every organization out there that provides ratings on different sports. And so I think those were the driving factors for that. The board looked at ways to try to mitigate that, and as you saw or heard, there's some shortened seasons, reduce the number of competitions, eliminate scrimmages, those kinds of things. Again, going back to being able to manage cohorts or pod sizes that are going to be easily traceable and better to be able to isolate if there are cases that pop up from time to time.
From the standpoint of the calendar now, how does it look from when you put football and volleyball in the spring? I'm sure people immediately then will say, hold it, my son or daughter plays baseball or softball or lacrosse, runs track, plays golf. How will the calendar look now come springtime?
Yeah, we've looked at a couple of different models, and some other states have what they would consider prototypes that are out there. We haven't gone that far to publish something, but now is the time for us to start putting some plans together. I think that both of those sports bring different nuances. Obviously, volleyball as an indoor sport, we can do some things schedule-wise, and we don't have to worry about whether or not facilities are going to be weather-ready. It's going to be more about availability. And so, again, it's all going to be dependent on what the numbers are for the virus and what spread is at in terms of what we might be able to do. But if we modify seasons across the board and shorten some things a little bit on the winter side and on the spring side and push some spring things out a little bit further, many states are going to the end of June. Discussion has even been into the middle of July, that could provide some opportunities to be able to slide that in. I think football comes with some other considerations because being able to play outdoors, which is where football is played in Minnesota, means that we've got to look at that really, really carefully about how we can reduce overlap as much as possible to allow students to participate in the typical activities that they would, that in traditional schedules would not be in competition with one another. So it might be that postseason overlaps with preseason practice in another sport a bit more than it normally would. Things like that. But again, I think the timing is going to be something we're going to have to work toward to try and figure out what that can look like.
And if we've learned anything here is that what is true today may not be true next week, right? Things change rapidly when you're talking about a health pandemic.
Yeah, and when you look at some other states, they have caveats that say the situation will be reviewed every 14 days. You know, so every 2 weeks they're going back and checking their decisions. And I have the great opportunity to connect directly with the executive directors from a number of other states. Quite honestly, I can call any state in the nation to get their plan. But those that are close to Minnesota, we connect regularly. And they have plans. And at the same time, they're asking the same kinds of questions that we are. Was it the right decision? Is it the right decision right now? What's going to change? What direction are our numbers going? What's our public going to support? What are our schools going to be able to support as we go forward? So flexibility and adaptability are two words that we continue to use in every sentence around planning for the coming school year.
Couple of quick ones, and I know you don't know the answer, but I want to know what the thinking is in regard to state tournaments, right? Because I think there's some discussion, again, might change week to week, but what are you thinking from trying to play for state championships in all of these sports involved?
I think the first answer is people have to be prepared for the fact that culminating experiences for seasons may not be a state tournament. In our conversations with Department of Health and where they're seeing the statistics at this time and large group gatherings, there's just lots of concerns around what our usual state tournaments look like. And so we continue to explore that and what that can be or how that can look and continue to just watch at this point. That's why all of our state tournament titles right now are to be determined. We stay in regular contact with our venues where we typically hold our state tournaments. They are largely on hold, and they're great partners with us, and they say, keep us informed. We need to know where you're at. But some of those large venues, just they're not having events right now, and it's just not possible. So we'll continue to take a look at it. We're hoping that we're going to be able to have some regional championships of some kind. If we can move to the point of bringing representation from across the state together, right now that's really recommended not to happen by all of the youth sports guidance. We're gonna take that a day at a time and a week at a time as we plan forward.
And then the other question, you mentioned you put some limitations on number of competitions, length of season, calendar is still somewhat up in the air, but it looks like you have loosened isn't maybe the right word, but you've expanded the opportunity for practice time. Obviously, the spring sports this past spring didn't get a lot of practice time. Some didn't get any. And so even though there's football and volleyball moving to the spring, they will be allowed to practice. And it sounds like maybe even some of the spring sports will be allowed to practice in the fall, even though they won't have games. Is that right?
That is correct. Our board is, you know, they came into all of this decision-making with the goal of trying to provide some kind of experience in every activity that we sponsor. And with that, when there's a gap or when there's an opportunity to provide that experience, which may be a little bit different than what we've had in the past, and quite honestly has been kind of precluded by bylaws that say you have contact within your season and otherwise you don't, Bringing spring into the fall provides chances if schools want to take advantage of that to be able to have workouts with their coaches and call them practices and not be in violation of anything. And again, get the benefits of being a part of a team, being able to work together, having that connection with an adult mentor who takes a real interest in the entire student and supports them both physically and also mentally and academically. And we can see a lot of benefits out of that kind of relationship. One thing that we need to remember is that the goal across the state is to have our kids back in school, and it's to have our kids be able to access the activities that they always have been able to. Whatever we can do from a community standpoint, from a statewide standpoint, to reduce the numbers of infections and reduce the threat to students and teachers and coaches and all that are connected to that youth experience in school and all the activities that we sponsor in the State High School League, the better off we're going to be. And so we just keep asking for everyone's cooperation. And if those numbers go down, we can run almost anything. And we're ready to do that as quickly as possible with whatever means possible for our kids. And so we partner together with our member schools because we think that the experiences we provide are second to none in terms of a special connection for students and then obviously with their families and the communities from which they come.
We appreciate the time, and we'll probably touch base a few more times here as we get into the school year.
My pleasure, Mike. Give me a call anytime, and we're glad to talk about where we're at.